Sometimes I've had a mustard sandwich. Other people have had a mayonnaise sandwich. Listen, them pork and beans was good many a times in my life. McDonald's or anything like that was not an option. You ate what you were given. And we didn't know the things that we were given were better for us than the things that we wanted to go out and buy to eat. Amen? If you got food on your plate, every day is Thanksgiving. So my question, did everybody have a good time and ate all you want Thanksgiving? Amen? 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 So I have a question for you this morning. Why did it get quiet? I have a question for you this morning. Do you have any leftovers for Christ? Do you have any leftovers for Christ? How many times a day do you eat? Some people eat 3 meals a day. Athletes eat 6 meals a day. And children seems to always be eating. Have you ever, somebody ever say, do you have a tapeworm or something? Because you're always eating and eating and eating. And you don't grow, you're still this big. Amen? The truth is that you gotta live and you grow. In order to do that, you have to eat. And the Lord created us that way, amen? And after creating all that he would, that we needed, he says we have an appetite. David puts it this way. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Now, my desire is to eat is a little bit different from everybody else's, right? Yours is different than mine, and mine is different than yours, and people eat whatever they feel like eating. And I can't go on without saying, this trip that we took to Sight and Sound, I seen a man eat, and I never seen somebody eat so much. And I ain't gonna call no names, but the man can eat. The man can eat. He ate from the time we left to the time we came back. It was almost 2 o'clock in the morning, and he was still eating. I said, to God be the glory. Know his wife better keep a good job. She better learn how to go hunt if she can't get it. But I love him to death. I love her to death too. Amen. Amen. I ain't calling no names and everybody. How do I not call names and everybody know who I'm talking about? How's that? He let you know, I'm going to eat. You can look at him. He don't care. He's going to eat. You can rebuke him. He's going to eat. Matter of fact, the more you rebuke him, the better that food must taste. But praise the Lord. I love him to death. God bless you, Brother Art. I I know when he prayed, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But we had a good time going to Sight and Sound, amen. And the fellowship was awesome. We, if you ever get the opportunity to go and see a play there, do it. Do it. It is surely, surely an experience. Amen. We had a good time. We fellowshipped. We were on the bus together for hours and hours and hours. Hours. And the man got to a certain point on the trip back. He got lost. Now, I travel that way all the time. And I'm trying to tell him, you got to get back on the turnpike and keep going. And he couldn't hear me. And I'm sitting right up front. But you see, sometimes when God is trying to tell you something and he's sitting right there telling you, you don't want to hear. And it cost you. And not only does it cost you, but it costs the people around you. Amen. I believe that God is talking to some people before I really start getting into the scripture this morning on Thanksgiving and leftovers. But you got to open your ears right now to start hearing the word of God, because there's something that goes on. There's, you know, the thing that makes situations funny when comedians say something to you is there's a reality to what it is that they're saying. Amen? So when Jesus is writing things in scripture and we apply it to our lives, there's a reality that's going on that makes you identify and understand what it is that he was talking about. Because the disciples didn't even know what he was talking about. And they were right next to him. As I was next to the bus driver, and he didn't understand what I was talking about, the disciples were right next to Jesus. And sometimes, they didn't understand what he was talking about. So, the scripture that we're going to go through today, maybe you didn't understand what it was all about. But I pray by the time you leave here, that you understand what Jesus was talking about. If every little thing would just listen to Jesus and to God, then things would be different. You see, we talk about food, but Eden was a garden of food that only had one tree that they could not touch. That was off limits. But of course, that one, that devil, used it to attract Adam and Eve and lead them into sin. So they were surrounded by all of this good food, but this one thing the enemy was able to attract them to. Amen? You see, before they touched that, they had an all access. You've seen on TV where they say you're going to come to an event and you're going to have all access. Well, Adam and Eve had all access to the one that created that garden and the one that created them. As saints and children of God, we have all access to everything that he wants to give us. Ever since Adam and Eve decided to listen to the deceiver, everything their children and our children have been linked to making bad decisions. They say that evil is associated with deadly and bad decisions. Amen? Our decisions are based upon the fact that we get caught up in lies and we're never satisfied. So we live in a world of dissatisfied children, and our Lord steps in once again with this scripture, and he wants us to understand that he will satisfy us. The scripture says the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him and to all who call on him in truth. truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears the cry and saves them. So the same God that walked in the garden with Adam and Eve is the same God that is walking with us today. So in this season of Thanksgiving, we got to always remember that he called himself the bread of life. Those words came from God in the form of Jesus himself when he identified himself as the bread of life. So my scripture today comes from Mark the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And it says, it's about Jesus feeding the 4,000. Now, we know that Jesus fed 5,000. And now Jesus is feeding the 4,000. But there's a big difference between him feeding the 5 and him feeding the 4. You see, when he fed the 5, the disciples came to him because the multitudes had followed him and he was teaching them. And it was one day. And the disciples said, we need to let these people go because they need to eat. He said, well, let's feed them. And they said, well, what do you expect us to do? You expect us to go buy food for all of these people? And he says, no. Just give me what you got. That's a point I want you to understand. He says, just give me what you got. Just give me what you got. So he took what they got. He prayed over it. He broke it. He gave thanks. And they gave it out. That's the 5,000. So I'm setting the scene up for you. Amen. The disciples were concerned that these people were going to get hungry. And we can't feed them. Jesus says, give me what you got. So now we go to Mark, the 8th chapter, verses 1 to 9. And Jesus is getting ready to feed the 4,000. It says, during those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have had nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. The disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit on the ground, and he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks. He broke them and gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well, and he gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciple picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present after he had sent them away. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the scripture. Amen. So when we look at the scripture of Mark 8, 1 to 9, Jesus is always demonstrating his messiahship in order to drive home the truth. He was trying to teach his disciples things that they needed to have in their hearts and in their minds. In a direct way, he was teaching them that they were to minister to the needs no matter what and who they were. You see, Jesus looked at the people. And he was ministering to them, but he saw their needs. He called the disciples. You see, when the disciples in Matthew, when they said, how are we going to feed all the people? You need to let them go home. There was no compassion there. They were looking out for themselves. But when Jesus called the disciples to him, the scripture is saying, I have compassion for these people. So Jesus saw a need, and he had compassion. When Jesus looks at you and sees your need, he has compassion for your needs. Jesus, in this demonstration, was revealing to the whole world that everybody has at least three great needs. They have a need for spiritual food, there's a need for compassion, and there's a need for evangelism. You see, the need for spiritual food was there, and you say, but there's nothing in the scripture that says there was a need for spiritual food. Well, you got to go before there to get to where I'm talking about. Because these people had came from a place where Jesus was before. Do you remember the demonic man that Jesus cured? That when he left from teaching on one side, he got on the boat and left and took them to the other side. And they wanted to know, well, why are you going there? He says, there's a need over there. There's one person over there that has a need. So I'm going over there because I got something to do. That one person, that something to do, was the man with the demonic spirit. He was chained up. They didn't allow him to go anywhere. He had so many demonic spirits that there were at least 2,000 pigs that these spirits had to go into. So when Jesus healed this man with the demonic spirits, the people who owned those pigs, that were caring for those pigs, came over there and they wanted to know, what are you doing? You just got rid of our livelihood. Those pigs were the things that we were working for. Those were the things that we made a living on. Those were the things, the items that we eat from. Jesus don't care, because that one man with those demonic spirits were more important than the 2,000 pigs. So the man with the demonic spirits was delivered, and all of a sudden he wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, no, I don't need you to follow me. I want you to stay right here and minister. Amen? I need you to stay here and show people what I have done. And obviously, his evangelism worked. Because the same people that were over there were the 4,000 that came over and waited 3 days to get the spiritual food that Jesus was teaching. Sometimes you want to go where you want to go. And Jesus says, no, you stay here because I got something for you to do. The man was obedient, and what he had for him to do was to evangelize. You see, because we got to see things. Amen? Those people did not just believe Jesus. But when they saw the man with the spirits delivered right before their eyes, they knew that Jesus had the power to deliver. When they saw those pigs jump over the cliff into the ocean, they know that those demonic spirits went somewhere. Notice, they sat there for 3 days without eating to listen to Jesus minister. And then he looked out there and he had compassion. We have to have compassion. You can't have compassion if you don't observe and you don't look. The disciples, after one day, they were not looking at the people. They didn't have compassion on them. We have people come to church. We got to look on them to see what kind of need they have. I sit up on the pulpit and I look to see the needs of the people coming in here, because there's people coming to church that have needs. Hallelujah. I can't make a sermon up on a Monday when there's some pressing needs that might come up on a Saturday night. I can't preach a sermon series because I got to know that whatever it is that's going on, Christ has to touch me and say, you got to fulfill this need through this message. So the crowds that followed Jesus were the same crowds on the other side that told him, you got to go. Amen? Jesus can heal. Jesus is all awesome in everything that he does. Remember, this man had chains all over him. Amen? And I don't know if you ever seen somebody that is hallucinating. They're strong, and they got a strength that's abnormal. Amen? Obviously, this man had a strength that was abnormal because they had him all chained up. There is nothing that these people had that Jesus couldn't show them. You see, when they had this man chained up, they didn't have compassion for him. They looked upon him like an animal. You see, the disciples, Jesus was teaching a lesson because he wanted the disciples to have compassion for people. He wanted the disciples to not look at people as outcasts. He wanted the disciples to see that those people that are alienated from society are just the type of people that God is looking at. Amen? He wanted them to see that the people that are considered enemies are not enemies of Jesus. Amen? So the scripture said when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. Amen? Because they were harassed. They were the helpless. They were the sheep without the shepherd. We have people that are around us that are sheep without a shepherd. Amen? Those are the people that Jesus is looking for. He wanted us to learn to see the needs. But there's so many times that the disciples are too prejudiced.
I didn't get an amen. I got one.
There's so many times that because we're so close to Jesus that we're prejudiced against the needs of those other sheep that are out there. Because we're all sheep. But what shepherd are we following? I said we're all sheep because we're following something. And if we're not following him, we're following the other one. Therefore, we need to not be so prejudiced and prideful that we need to feel what people need. The disciples never looked. And sometimes we look, but we don't look to find out what the need is. We look to see what they're doing here. Why are you here? Looking at and observing people are essential to see their need. And seeing their need stirs compassion. When you see the beggar out there with the holy pants and the raggedy shoes and the tin cup, you see their needs. That need spurs your compassion to give them something. And if they can't do that, if they can't spur your compassion, you don't give them anything. Am I right? That's why when they want to spur your compassion, they'll put little children next to them. And you're not giving the money to them, but you're giving it because the kids are there. Amen? Not because of them. Because you say, well, you know, you can go down to the shelter and get a shower. You can go to the Salvation Army and get some clothes. There's a place for people like you. But when you see the children, you don't even hardly look at the person, but your compassion is towards something that you see. As disciples, we got to see. Because when we look, we can't see the person, but we got to see souls. Because the Bible says that his will is that none, or you're saying it with conviction now, that none, and that none be lost. Compassion involves the use of resources. Needs can never be met apart from resources. The disciples wondered about the resources, when enough bread could be secured to feed so many. And they asked Jesus about the matter, offering every excuse and objective. This place is a wilderness. It's beyond reach. We can't go to the corner store and get something for these people to eat. The resources was too meager. We only got a couple of fish and some bread. The multitude and the need was too great. How many of us have used that same excuse? So we decided not to get involved. That I'm not going to that place. It's a jungle. I'm not going to that place because it's the ghetto. I'm not going to that place because these people don't know how to act. Or I ain't got enough money to take care of everybody. So I'm going to take care of nobody. Have you ever done that? I don't have enough for everybody, so I'm going to take care of nobody. The multitude and the need was too great. I ain't got enough money to feed all of them people. We use that same excuse from being involved. But there's too many needs that go unmet because of these kind of excuses. You see, the disciples looked at the resources that they had. How many do that? We look at the resources that we have. Come on, I know I got more than one, two. Come on. Come on, you got kids, you look at the resources that you have before you go into the old Toys R Us. You look at the resources you have before you go eat at Red Lobster. We look at the resources we have before we, it determines our decision making. It helps in the process, amen? I don't want to give an ouch this morning, so I won't. But notice one thing. Jesus didn't ask them how to discuss to meet a need so great. He didn't say, let's have a conference call on it. He didn't say, let's have a meeting, let's talk about it. He didn't say, I want your opinion because I need to know what you think of what I'm getting ready to do. All he wanted to know is, what you got? All he asked them is, what do you have? He told them to check on what resources you got. When God tells us to do something, he just wants to know what you got. He already knows what you got. But he just wants to know what you got. Because if you give him what you got, he's going to fulfill the need. No, I don't think you got that. I said, when you give him what you got, when you give him the resources that you got, he will fulfill the need. The disciples didn't understand that because they were looking at it from a physical point of view. They wasn't looking at it from a spiritual point of view. And this is what Jesus, this is what was said in Acts 20 and 35. He says, I have shown you all things, how that so your laboring ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said is more blessed to give than to receive. We ask you to trust God always in church. And when we ask you to trust God, look at your physical situation. But when you trust God and you do what God has instructed you, you don't have to worry about your needs. Because they're always met. And then you can say that every day is Thanksgiving. And when he blesses you and you have Thanksgiving every day, he wants you to be able to take your leftovers and bless somebody. Hallelujah. So I asked you this morning, my first question is, do you have any leftovers for Christ? Now notice what happens. Compassion involves giving all, taking all, and using all that one has to meet the needs. Note that the 7 loaves were given to Jesus. Then Jesus took all 7 loaves and used all 7 to meet the need. There was nothing that was held back. All the resources that were available were used to meet the needs. Compassion will always give all, then take all, and use all to meet the need. So how often do we hold back? How often do we store up? How often do we lie, deceive, and cheat about our resources just from having to give? Christ teaches us that we are to give our resources to meet the needs of a desperate world. Let me tell you how desperate this world is. I just happened to be looking at CNN a little bit yesterday, going through their top stories. And they were showing the people in Afghanistan selling their children to get something to eat. So here was this woman with it looked like about a 9-year-old son, but she had a little girl who looked like she was no more than about 5. And she was explaining how she sold her daughter so they can have something to eat. Then they showed the buyer of the daughter. He looked like he's about 60 years old. And he's explaining that, well, this is what we do here. And they needed something to eat, and I had the resources to provide the money for them to get something to eat. Now, I don't know about you, but that did something to my heart. It did something to my heart because I do have daughters. And I think that I would have to do something else. I don't know. I'm in a different, and I'm not judging anybody, because I'm here. I'm in the land of good and plenty. I always say God knew what he was doing when he put me here. I'm grateful and thankful that I'm here. But while we're here and we got to preach the gospel all over the world to everybody, we need to know the things that they're going through. So we run around saying, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. There's other people doubting whether or not he is good, because they're not blessed the way that we're blessed. And so when we give to missions and we send missionaries out and we do things for people who don't have what we have, don't worry about what that you give, and don't do because you think that what you give is not enough. Jesus will take what you give and make it enough. Don't you worry about what it is he's going to do with it. I had some interesting conversations over the weekend with my family, with people who are blessed beyond measure. I got to have a conversation. You know, Thanksgiving is not to have politics over the table. But when you got to go in, you got to go in. Somebody say amen. I met a nephew-to-be, and he wants to come at me about what other ministers and pastors are doing with their money. I'm not concerned with the man who changed his name to Dollar. That he's running around and he needs a bigger plane. That's not my concern. But the Bible says that there's going to be people that are going to preach the gospel, and people are going to be saved. But that particular person might not make it. I don't need to you to ask me what I think about somebody's ministry. I can only say, maybe they found their lane. But I can guarantee you, that if you come into 155 Grand Avenue, there ain't no planes and no trains here for the pastor. That he's not sitting up there telling you he wants a bigger anything. That he gets up and he pays his 10% of whatever it is, just like anybody else. That I would raise that. That I was called out that way. That I suffered because I didn't understand. And when I understood, I realized that I wasn't suffering at all. That somebody was planting a seed for me. That somebody was planting something. And the result of it is where I am now. That the people that you're sitting in this house, that you're eating this turkey and this ham and the sweet potato pies and the cakes and everything else, that they are blessed by the resources that people gave when they didn't have nothing. That it wasn't always turkey. Sometimes it was Franks and beans. Seeds you're planting right now, they're not for you. They're not for you. They're for somebody else. Do you have enough scraps and leftovers for Christ? It's for your children and your children's children's children. That when everything is happening all around, that God is going to bless them and shield them and put angels in front of them and block them from things happening. It's not to say that things won't happen, but when they do happen, he will take you through them. Do you have any scraps to give? Do you have any leftovers? It don't make a difference how big it is. It don't make a difference how small it is. I was asked, well, what if you don't have money to put in the basket? He said, I've gone to churches where you're ashamed because you didn't give. They don't let you in the building. They call you up and tell you about what you did and you didn't do. They call you out from the pulpit. I said, if you don't have nothing, we say, come and tap the basket. Just tap it. Just shake, rattle, and roll it a little bit. Let the Lord know that you got a willing heart, but you don't have nothing. By the time I finish with them, I got $20. And I got a commitment that they're going to start paying tithes. Because it's not about your money. Because let me tell you something. Somebody gave me a seed for $20 and said, I want to see what's going to happen now that I planted this seed. I said, let me tell you, you already been blessed. Because last week, they called you in on your job. They're getting ready to lay people off. And you don't know if you were going to have a job or not. You were already blessed. Not only did you keep your job, but you can work from home. You got more vacation days than you had before. Your salary just went up a little bit. You already got blessed. You see, right after this scripture, right after this scripture, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they wanted to see a sign. They was like, okay, you just healed these people, this man. You just fed 4,000. Now show us a sign. He says, hey, I got to show you no sign. That's like what I just heard. He just blessed them. Now you waiting for him to show you a sign? He has shown you a sign. There's people here right now. He has shown you a sign. You're waiting for another one. Get it in your head. He has shown you a sign. He says, I'm out of here. And Jesus and them left. As I'm going to the next part of the chapter, he left. And as they were going on the boat, they left all the bread and everything they had. They left it all behind except for one loaf. And you know what the disciples said? Well, what are we going to do now? They said, what are we going to do now? Listen to what Jesus said. The disciples had forgotten to bring the bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. And then they discussed it with one another. They like, he's giving them a warning. He's saying, be careful of the bread, the yeast, the leaven that you're going to get from the Pharisees. Let me tell you, I really want you to listen to where I'm going with this. And then the disciples got together to discuss what Jesus meant. Have you ever told somebody to do something, your children to do something, the people that work underneath you to do something, and they got together to discuss what it is that you said? I mean, it does happen. But this is Jesus. He just fed 4,000. He just healed a demonic person. The enemy, through the Pharisees, had said, show us a sign. And he says, I'm out of here. Let's go, guys. And they left everything except one loaf. And then he says, you better be careful of the bread you're going to get. And they said, yeah. He must have known that. We only got one loaf of bread. We left the other ones. Listen, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. His teachings are the bread of life. The word is the bread of life. Okay? He was not talking about physical food. He was talking about spiritual food. Those people that came for 3 days and listened without eating, they were there for the spiritual food. But because he had compassion, he fed them physical food. The food that he's talking about the Pharisees, was not physical food. It was about spiritual food. That's why I can tell the people around the table that I can't worry about somebody else's ministry, about what they're doing. I can only worry about the spiritual food I am charged with giving. So Jesus is telling them to beware of the food you're going to get from the Pharisees. And they have a discussion that, oh, it's because we have no bread. And Jesus says to them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember, when I broke 5 loaves to feed the 5,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? I'm saying to you this morning, how many baskets and loaves have Jesus supplied in your lifetime, and you still don't understand? How many times have you taken you out of situations, and you've seen it with your eyes, you've heard it with your ears, but you failed to see it with your spiritual eyes, you failed to hear it with your spiritual ears? What is it that you don't understand? So I ask you today, do you have any leftovers for Christ? Everybody in here, he's given us more than enough. We've walked streets with holes in our shoes. We had clothes that we wore over and over again. Some of our closets, I didn't say closet, some of our closets are packed to the max. And we're still going shopping. And when offering time comes, we don't have enough. Somebody told me that when offering time comes, there should be a praise in the house, because he ain't asking you more than you could give. Because you should know that whatever little bit it is, he's going to use it to fulfill a need. Do you have any leftovers for Christ this morning? Because it's really not about you. All he wants us to do is to help fulfill the need, to preach the gospel and to fulfill the need. 3 days these people sat down and didn't eat because they were hungry for a word. Not food. Are we hungry for a word today and not food? Are we hungry to help fulfill the mandate that he gave us? It's just a ritual. How many times on Thanksgiving we go through the ritual? I'm thankful for my mother and my father. I'm thankful for bump, 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 bump. And the kids are laughing, because they don't really understand the things that we've gone through. They don't understand the things that our parents went through, that their grandparents went through, that the people before them went through. Every day we got to be thankful for what God has given us. We have another chance each and every day. Even if we don't have food, we have a chance to get something to eat. Even if we don't have all that we think that we want, we have all that we need. It's just a little bit. I remember specifically one time that they were giving out shirts for us working all summer long in the heat. And they gave me a shirt. It was a little too small for me at the time. And we sat around because they gave us something to eat. And the man looked at me and said, "Did you get a shirt?" I said, "Yeah, but it's too small." And he looked at me. He said, "But did you get a shirt?" Snapped me right back into reality. Because I got a shirt. So I can't wear the shirt. Somebody can. Yes, I was ungrateful. Yes, we are ungrateful people. The disciples were ungrateful. They were still looking at themselves. We only got one loaf. They didn't know. They didn't realize that the God that we served and had just demonstrated over and over and over again that I am God. That I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think or ask. That's the God that we serve. Let us stand this morning.